It's Big Ugly Outdoors with Lifetime Longhorn and National Champ KC Studdard. Brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down.
What's going on, everybody? Good morning. Well, my goodness, it's your host, Casey Stetter. Got D-Balls in the booth. Sitting over here looking at little Iowa State. Got a little film. They're a little salty little team.
Yeah.
I think that coach down there is doing good work. You know, I think he's doing good work. But it's still Iowa State, and we need to go out there and handle our business and whoop that ass.
I feel like he's going to go to a blue blood program soon, their coach. He's a really, really good coach.
It's crazy is how Iowa is like it's like a gateway. Houston's a gateway.
Yeah.
It's like a bigger school, you know. But say something real quick. I can't hear nothing.
What a beautiful sunrise this morning. Beautiful sunrise.
There we go. Okay. Now I can hear everything. Sorry. I was turning the dial the wrong way. So I was like, what's going on? No, it was a good sunrise. But it's kind of weird you telling me that. But Casey, it's such a beautiful sunrise. What? Yeah, no, I'm messing with you.
Perfect day to be in a blind.
No, you're right. No, I mean, it's not bright, you know? See, I like my perfect day to be in a blind is a little foggy, kind of. I mean, you can see a long way today. Yes, it's great. I don't know. I like it when I can be more, when I'm more disguised, I guess. You know what I mean?
That makes sense. When I was driving in here, I was hitting just random little patches of fog this morning.
Yeah. I think it needs a little bit colder. It warms up pretty quick here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Last night I got kind of chilly. I was sitting over there, man in pits, and had to throw on the old hunting jacket to stay warm, sitting there by the dang fire pit all night. But no, I mean, it warms up by 6:30. When that sun starts coming up, it's really not bad. Like, I start sweating. I'm like, all right, I need to get out of here. But yeah, so Longhorns today. What's going on, everybody? Longhorns today.
Senior night.
It is senior night. It's a must-win game. It sucks to lose that one. Happened to me. Blows. Don't recommend it. Iowa State's not a football school. They're not really a sports school, the way I look at it.
I was about to say, what would you consider them then?
Like, I mean, there's a bunch of, you know, country, you know, corn-fed white boys out there, and
yeah,
they got athletes. I'm not gonna take away from their squad, because their squad actually do have a good team. I didn't get to watch any live games, but I got a couple inside people that showed me some film, and I was like, oh, okay, I see what you're saying. But I think today's gonna be a good game. Texas, they can't, because of the way Iowa State plays. How they can get up on people and kind of hold that and stop you, because they got a salty enough defense where they're a bend don't break defense, so they'll give you your yards, but they're not going to give you a touchdown. You know, they're going to hold you to three. So it's one of those things where you got to score touchdowns. You got to score points when you can, and six are crucial, just because their offense has enough weapons. They got enough big long receivers that may give us a little bit of trouble with our young secondary, but I think Boy goes out here today and smashes them, folks, but that's just me. Because he has to cover that big joker, right?
Yeah, yeah, he should.
So if he's a matchup one-on-one to him today, that'd be a good matchup.
Everybody always thinks he gets, like, burnt a lot on defensive coverage, but he's always covering their best receiver every single week.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's having a bad season. I think he's doing his own. And if you look at it, though, I know what you're saying with that, why people get on him like that. But, yeah, he had that one bad game against, who was it? Oklahoma State or whatnot. But
yeah, that was also against a very, very good receiver.
Yeah, but last week though, when, for example, every time it was, you know, you're a DB, you see the flag go up and you kind of hesitate, and really what it was defensive offsides, and it was just Hail Mary desperate balls, and they got caught on them. You know what I mean? And I understand that, but that's just like a, how do you explain it? It's a different play because it's kind of dead, and then you see your guy take off, so you're playing catch up the whole time, kind of, if you're not paying attention, you know what I mean? If you're overly paying attention, like, hey, they should be offsides, but, you know, your dude's running by you. But, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But that's what I think a lot of their yards came off of plays like that. But, anyways, I think he's having a good season. I don't have anything against the kid.
See the other news coming out of the Big 12?
Uh-uh.
With Les Miles?
Yeah, but I don't think anybody can really go to Kansas and get recruits.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It's a basketball school. He'll get some players just because of his name. Like, he'll get some of those, some JUCO transfers. He'll get some squads where they're pretty good with, you know, but he's a defensive-minded guy, right? No, is he? Is Les Miles a defensive coach?
He should be, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, he went to LSU, and they never had an offense, really.
But see, that's what's weird to me is I don't think if he wasn't a defensive guy, I don't know. Because they never had an offense.
Right.
He is a defensive guy. Well, I mean, he may bring a salty defense back to the Big 12.
I feel like they can get to, like, Iowa State level, like what Iowa State is now in the Big 12.
Like beating some good teams.
Yeah, that's like their ceiling.
Like
yeah. Yeah.
I just don't see him getting the talent. But I bet you, I mean, you know, with a name like that, but you've seen big names go to smaller schools and just kind of fade out. You know what I mean? But,
wow, he's actually he was the offensive coordinator at Oklahoma State. He was the tight ends coach for the Dallas Cowboys, and then he was the Oklahoma State head coach from 2001 to 2004 before taking over at LSU in 2005. So I guess he is an offensive-minded guy.
He is, okay. Well, he hasn't really shown it.
That's for sure.
No, but I have played against him when he was at Oklahoma State. But then, like, 04, when he was last year, 04?
Yes, 04.
And then we started the Van Gundy era with him. He's a cool cat. He gets a bad rap. I think Van Gundy's a good dude. Oklahoma State, who they have today?
I think they've got West Virginia today.
Can they get West Virginia?
I hope so.
Okay, hold on. So we need someone to beat West Virginia for us to go to the Big 12 championship?
Not necessarily. If Texas wins out and West Virginia beats Oklahoma, Texas makes the Big 12 championship game.
Jeez. Okay.
And
with our losses?
Yes.
We own the tiebreaker, right?
Yeah. Say Oklahoma State wins today, then West Virginia versus Oklahoma practically becomes a tiebreaker. Or an elimination game, should I say.
Oh, because we'll automatically go.
If they win out.
Gotcha.
Control your own destiny. Got to win the next two games.
Yeah, okay. Well, all right. Well, we still got a chance. Anyways, we got a good show today. It's hunting season.
West Virginia at Oklahoma State at 2:30. Confirming.
West Virginia at Oklahoma State at 2:30. West Virginia is going to win. I don't know. Oklahoma might be able to get West Virginia.
Yeah, they almost beat Oklahoma last week, if I'm not mistaken.
They're playing good football. Their quarterback's real accurate right now. He's not making stupid decisions. You know what I mean? They're moving the ball well, is what I've seen. They're putting points up. And they can just stop somebody. You know, I think.
That's how the Big 12 is, though. It comes down to making one stop, it seems like, every week in all these big games.
Well, a lot of it is, too, all these damn all these offenses in the Big 12 are just all high-powered spread offenses.
Yeah.
There's nothing out there that's, you know, ground and pound and wear you down and break you down and all that kind of stuff, so... I don't know. I just hate the Big 12 football with all this hot. You know, there's nobody just pounding that rock. Everything's like a run pass option. But roll with the tide, I guess, because Roll Tide, those boys are rolling.
That they are. And they've got the Citadel coming into Tuscaloosa today. So that one could end up being 125-0 in favor of the Crimson
Man,
Tide.
Man, every time I hear Citadel, it reminds me of a story when I was, I think it was my second or third year in the league. We always did a home-and-home, like not a home-and-home, but during camp, every year we switched off. Like one year we'd go down to New Orleans and practice against the Saints for a week and play them on Saturday and get to eat all kinds of good food, go out one night, you know.
Love New Orleans.
Yeah, awesome. And but they would come here, and there's this one guy we had on our team. Man, I can't remember his freaking name. Anyways, he was this huge old lineman from Citadel. And, you know, it's kind of a military brat school and everything. Yep. And he was, you know, I mean, I'm talking like this dude is yacked. And he's like, you know, 6'5", you know, 315, 320. But anyways, the reason why every time I hear Citadel, like, it makes me laugh is because me and Dwayne Brown are sitting there at practice. And me and him are always the two that would go fight, you know, other teams. Like, anytime everything went down, me and him were the first two to run over there and, you know, protect our boys and start knocking people out. And so me and Dwayne are sitting there, and he goes, "Stud." I'm like, "Yeah, what's up?" He goes, "Man, no one, we haven't gotten a fight yet today." I was like, "I know, coaches were on us yesterday. Everyone's trying to act all nice." And I'm over there getting water, and he goes, "Stud, strap up. I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "It's about to go down." I was like, "What are you talking about?" And he goes, "That dude was over there swinging on our guard or whatever, and the next play they hike it, and all you see is this big cat from Citadel grabbing this New Orleans defense lineman. He slams him down, and then he grabs him by his chest and starts dragging this guy, dragging this defense lineman like back to our huddle, talking crap to him." And I was dying laughing, and then just, you know, here it goes, both sidelines cleared.
Oh, of course.
It was just, but you got to watch out those big fights like that, because those little DBs try to sneak people. You know what I mean? Like, the big guys will go in there, and I just, whoever's messing with my guy, they're going to get pulled off and slammed, you know, or whatever it is. But those little DBs will come around the side and try to sneak one on you. You know, you got to watch out for the little ones.
Yeah, looking at the schedule for college football today, the SEC has a bunch of cupcake games.
Never understood why SEC does a non-conference.
Yeah.
Mid in the season.
Like, you got, never. Like we said, the Citadel coming into Alabama, Idaho traveling to Gainesville, Florida to take on the Gators, Middle Tennessee taking on Kentucky. You've got...
Is Kentucky still ranked?
Yeah, they are number 17. They are 7-3.
Man, they had them at like, "Oh my God, Kentucky." Like, shut up. It's Kentucky. They're not going to win the games at the end of the year.
Yeah, for sure. UMass is traveling to Athens, Georgia to take on the Georgia Bulldogs. Yeah.
Are there
and
any
then
good
Rice
games?
Coming to LSU. The best game, I think, is going to be this Notre Dame-Syracuse game. That one's going to be
Syracuse
at Yankee Stadium.
Syracuse is going to get their ass whooped.
Think so?
Stop trying to be like...
I mean, it's number 3 versus number 12, so...
Stop looking at numbers. It's Syracuse. They're a basketball school. I don't give a crap. It's not going to happen. It's not
we'll
going to happen,
D-balls.
And I hate Notre Dame. As much as I want to, like, wish Notre Dame to get their ass whooped, I can't, because they're going to beat the crap out of Syracuse today.
Their jerseys for today, because they're playing at Yankee Stadium, looks like the New York Yankees uniforms.
Who's due?
Notre Dame's.
How?
Because they're doing some kind of special jersey for this game. It's they've got the pinstripe pants. It's got pinstripe sleeves, and then it's got the navy blue actual jersey top.
All right. So how do I see that picture?
I'd probably just type in Notre Dame uniforms, and it should come up into the Google machine.
Into the Google machine?
Yep.
All right, I'll check that out here in a second. You know, my whole thing is with Notre Dame is I just never liked them ever since they beat – because my dad was a senior, you know, with Earl when they lost to Notre Dame in the Cotton Bowl, Joe Montana. And, yeah, it was Joe Montana, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Joe Montana. Was he really? That was him at Notre Dame, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, it was Joe Montana. And, yeah, so ever since then, my dad lost in the championship. I never liked him. And then I heard how the movie Rudy, I heard Rudy was a complete D-bag. So I was like, okay, well, now I hate Notre Dame even more now. And it's just, because everyone loved that whole movie, Notre, you know, they loved Rudy, the movie. But in real life, Rudy was a piece of ass that was cocky and no one liked him on the team.
What year did you say that game was?
77.
Right, let's see.
It was Montana. My dad lost him in the Super Bowl, too.
Man, that's crazy. Losing to him in both?
Yep. Lost him in the Super Bowl and championship. I was like, oh, that sucks, Dad.
Yep, 38-10 was the final on that one.
Yep, Joe Montana.
One of my favorite movies.
What movie was that again?
Waterboy.
Yeah, that's right. So Colorado fired their head coach.
Did they?
Yeah. Colorado fired their head coach, and I think he was a coach of the year like last year or something. They were like, he took them far. There are no good games today. Football's going to suck. Maryland, Ohio 12. State, Penn State, Rutgers, Alabama, Utah, Colorado, Arkansas. I mean, where are all the games?
I mean, UCF might actually get beat today. They're playing Cincinnati.
So is that the game of the day? Or the game of the week? Is that where game day is at?
I'm not sure, actually. Let me see about that.
I think it is. Yeah, it is there. Yeah, game day is there. So, I don't know, UCF, I'm not a believer. They got Cincinnati. Cincinnati's 9-1. They're 9-0. It's crazy. Cincinnati has a way harder schedule, and they're number 24. And UCF's 9-0, and they're number 11. But
self-proclaimed national champions from last year.
Do they really put national up in their – they put that up into their stadium.
Let me see. I know that they were.
That's almost as desperate as them damn Aggies are giving Jimbo Fisher a national championship trophy with 20 on it, and just filling the date behind it.
Okay, so this is from the Orlando Sentinel, the newspaper, and this was from the 25th of August. And it says UCF was officially listed among college football national champions in the 2018 record book released this week. What?
That's some fake ass news.
Wow.
Is that a thing right now, or are you just messing around?
No, I'm not messing with you. That is straight from the Orlando Sentinel. There's a couple of different articles about that. Wow. Looking at the timeline here of when they actually said that they were national champions.
Yeah, they're idiots. Yep. You got to win a national. You got to beat. I mean, you didn't play Alabama. Who do they? They beat somebody in a BCS bowl. But I mean, I'm sorry. Sorry, guys.
See, that would have been in January.
I'm up listening. How many listeners are we up to, Casey? We're up to 2 listeners today. I know it's been a boring start, but
you don't think we got at least 3 by now? About 7-19. They beat Auburn last year, by the way.
They beat Auburn?
Yes. I mean, that's a pretty big win, but still,
Auburn's the biggest flake team. Like, it's like you show up for Alabama, you know, they have those years where it's like, where do they come from? You know what I mean? Because if you beat Alabama, you automatically go to like, oh, you're ranked. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, it's ridiculous. No, I think we're up to like four listeners today. But yeah, we got a good show. I mean, there's not a lot of good football, but I mean, Texas Iowa State's it's probably the best game today, honestly.
Yeah.
It really is going to be the best game today. Iowa State has a bunch of no-namers. I mean, but they're a good, salty squad. Their offense is solid, their defense is solid. They put numbers on people, they've stopped people. Got some senior leadership, all that good stuff. You know, it's one of those things where with it's not a trap game because you know they're good, but it's Iowa State, so you don't think they're good football.
Yeah.
So it's always in the back of your
mind.
Yeah, you
no
expect to
what.
Whoop their ass, you know what I mean? Because it's Iowa State, but you better do some extra film study with these guys because they're actually a pretty good, salty little squad, you know what I mean? Like, you better be on your stuff this week, because if you're not, you're going to get beat.
Yeah, their running back is actually suspended for the first half of the game today
for a fight
last week with Baylor. That was a pretty crazy, crazy game.
What was the fight? Okay, I did see they got both got kicked out. Yeah, I did see that. Baylor's a bunch of punks. I can't stand Baylor.
Someone just texted in about our talking about fog earlier and being in the deer blind. Someone said, for Casey to be disguised, it needs to be some damn thick fog.
Yeah, I mean, some real thick some real thick fog. But the key is, you know, put enough camo on, you'll be all right. But, I mean, the other thing is, too, if you're in one of those box blinds, like my dumbass was wearing camo in a box blind where I should just be wearing black so I can blend into the inside, you know what I mean? Yeah, I was that guy for sure. But we're up to five listeners. Everybody checking in. Thank you. I appreciate it. Five solid listeners. No, I wish I was in the deer blind today. Had a couple people hit me up. I had a chance to go. I talked to Lyle yesterday. He has his new little ranch down the road, and he put out some game trails or game cams and all that kind of stuff. He has some nice freaking deer out there. It's a bunch of pigs and everything like that. Got beautiful water running through it. Got the river going through it, so it's nice. Has those like low parts of a river where you can kind of go sit in all day. You know what I mean? It's about 2 foot deep. So like right on his land with like some sand, like some little sand and rock areas where you can just kind of go sit down and chill in the water. You know, some natural flow, natural spring water.
Yeah, I saw some of the pictures that the Big Ugly's Twitter account was retweeting this week. Some pretty big deer out there.
What did you say?
Some of the pictures that the Big Ugly Twitter was retweeting.
Yeah.
Man,
I know,
beautiful
some,
deer.
There's some big, big deer. I mean, but the only thing that sucks about Texas is there's so many high game fences. Like someone can come from anywhere out of state and go to a high game fence and pay whatever kind of money they want to pay and go shoot basically any big deer they want. And that's the thing. That's the hard thing. And you get people that manage their land. If you manage your hunt, I'm cool with that. I just don't like the guys that bring in these breeder bucks where they basically just let the breeder buck out the pen and they're like, well, he'll be here today at this time. Like, I like natural big deer. Like, I want them to breed naturally. I don't want it to be in an environment where you got to bring in a stud with some horns I don't mind if you grab some does and artificially inseminate them, like, with some, you know, badass, you know, buck semen or whatever. But, you know, that's just one of those things. We got some people checking in from Liberty Hill. Got Dave listening. Got a couple other people listening. We got about nine people. Yeah, no, but the deer blind, man, I wish I was there right now. The sun kind of came up early today. I mean, I haven't really heard too much, but I know my cousin up there on the Wagner Ranch, at, you know, Stan, he runs, he's a biologist up there for this Stan Kreike, the owner of the Rams.
Yeah.
So his ranch, the Wagner Ranch, my cousin pretty much runs the whole thing. So he's telling me at the Wagner Ranch that, you know, it's 500,000 acres, so it's stupid, you know. There's deer and animals out there that never seen people, you know what I mean? But there's actual towns on the ranch, like I'm talking like, it's not like a town on a map, right? Like me and you can't go to it.
Yeah.
But there's like, this ranch is so big that there's a town with like a gas station that has two pumps, that has like its own little store, like a little food place, you know, a little, I mean, like old school, like what you see John Wayne movies.
Old school small town, yeah.
And there's like 100 cowboys that live on the ranch that like never leave. And they run their cattle. They do everything. They got electric prods and all that kind of stuff now. But, I mean, it's all old school horseback everywhere. And
that's so awesome, though.
No, but there's about 100 of them. I mean, there's no – it's – they sell the cow. They don't leave the ranch. I mean, they don't. It's like their own town. There's like 30 houses out there, and it's all in this. I mean, it's nuts. It's like an old Western country or cowboy movie. It's weird. Just straight country cowboy hats, chaps, spurs, like all that.
How much did he end up buying that ranch for again? I think we looked it up one week.
He's married to Walton, so I mean, he paid.
Yeah.
I think $400 million, something crazy. More than that, probably.
I'll have to look that up.
500. I don't know. It was a lot.
A lot of people texting in on the text line. just checking in with us.
See, I love Hippo Country down there in good old, what's Hippo Country?
Hutto?
Hutto, yeah, that's my cousins. So they all went to high school there. Dripping Springs, not bad, low fence, free range hill country bucks. No, I mean, that's my thing is I don't mind going on a high fence ranch. I like to hunt, you know, I like to hunt animals. I like low fence because you can kind of, you know, you can still put a Boone and Crockett on it.
Yeah.
I like high fenced if they're not breeding. If they just let natural deer do their thing, they do their management, shoot the coals, you know, even out the doe to buck population, you know, like that, and grow the deer they want to grow by doing it naturally. I like that. I don't mind that. But I just don't like when these people bring in these, like, 200 class deer and tie them to a freaking tree and be like, yep, there it is. But these, you know, these dumbasses from other states are like, oh my God, it was the greatest hunt ever. Look at this deer I shot in Texas. Holy cow. Da, da, da. Yeah, and you pay 25, 30 grand for that damn deer. You know what I mean?
Ooh,
oh, yeah. Easy. All day, every day. But yeah, we're going to take a break real quick here. We're going to get back into it. I was supposed to have a few callers call in from the deer blind this morning, but they may have a good morning and had some live action, but they're too scared to let the deer go away. What I would have done is put the volume real low. Like, don't say a word. I'm about to shoot something.
Whisper like the Colonel.
Yeah. The Colonel out there. That was so funny. But, yeah, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back with more Big Ugly Outdoors. Brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors, my new title sponsor. And we'll be right back.
Back to Big Ugly Outdoors with Casey Studdard, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Big Ugly Outdoors. Your host, Casey Studdard, got D-Balls in the booth. good luck to all you people out there in the blinds. Hopefully you already got something on the ground or you're enjoying a nice little toddy. Celebrating your harvest. I know I would be. You always got to have a cold one after, or something warm to keep you warm, you know, a little whiskey or something like that after a good shot. But anyways, back to Iowa State, Texas. You know, looking at comparisons or whatever, you know, our numbers are better. Like, everything statistically are better on our offense. The defensive side of things is where you see a little bit of a, you know, rushing yards allowed, 109 rushing yards allowed to 143. That's, you know, they allow 109 yards. We average about 145. Passing yards, you know, we're 276 to their 235. So it just shows the difference in that, in their defense. You know what I mean? Their defense is stout. They're going to be good. Their quarterback only has 2 interceptions on the year. So he's accurate. I think he's young. I think we need to get after him. I think that because he's a true freshman, right?
Yeah, I think he became the starter a few weeks into the season, and ever since then they've been rolling.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, like this one cat, like Lil J has 63 receptions for almost 1,000, 7 tugs. They have a guy that has 36 receptions for 808 touchdowns. You know what I mean? Like, that guy gets looked at. You know what I mean? So that's the Butler kid, number 18, for – he's the tall one. He's a real long one. They'll probably have Boyd on all day because he's 6'4", I think, so he's real long and tall. So hopefully, you know, we probably have to bracket him and have someone underneath and up high because that's a jump ball that he'll win all day. It's kind of like a Colin Johnson type matchup right
he's
there.
He's 6'6", as well,
he's
by
six,
the way.
He's 6'6", okay. He is 6'6". So, yeah, he's tall and long. That's the matchup that I'll be looking at today. I think our offense can, you know, they're a bend-don't-break defense. So I think our offense, they have to capitalize in the red zone. Our red zone has to be key. I think red zone's a key to this game today. We got to score points every time we can. We can't settle for field goals every time down there. We got to score touchdowns. Like, I understand points are always good, but that's the game they want to. They want to beat us 27-17, something like that, 21-17. That's what they want to do, is have a low-scoring grind game and just keep our offense off the field. But I think the thing is today, if we can get our offensive linemen up, you know, for the running game, if we can get our offensive linemen off these D tackles, get good push off the line on our double teams and get up in the linebacker's face, I think we can actually run the ball all over them today. But it starts with the offensive line. And that today is the big thing, because you want to control the game. You know, I always say has some weapons. You want to keep them off the field. But their front seven's, you know, that's the key to their defense, their front seven. If we can get into that secondary, we can get into the linebackers' laps where they're not just coming downhill, filling holes in the running game, you know, making them bounce over the top. I think we have enough speed. I think our running backs are good enough that we can see the hole and we can start gashing them. I really do think that today. But that comes up with the mentality of the Texas offensive line. Are they gonna come out and be bulldozers? Are they gonna be a bunch of D's? Are they gonna try to rip someone's face off? Are they gonna come out here and just do their block? Are they gonna do more? I want them to do more. Are they gonna take over a game? Are they gonna put the team on their back and go down there and just start mauling people? Like, just be you're an offensive lineman. That's what you're supposed to be, is a dirty ass. I mean, you just go out there and do whatever it takes. You know, it's just, who cares? You're the grinder of the team. You're the guy that you're the guy on the team that
you dictate the pace of play.
Yeah, but I mean, like, not even that. Like, if you have an offensive lineman that's really gelling together and you're running the ball, getting 4 or 5 yards a pop, like, no one can stop that.
Yep.
And then once you get that confidence with them, but see, that's the thing though, is I think they rotate and they do so much more, is that they don't really ever get to hang their hat on something. Like, if they're running the ball real good, they don't really just say, you know, we're just going to hand this damn ball off and just wear them out. Like, they don't do that. You know what I mean? Like, if for me as offense coordinator, if I'm sitting there and the running game is working, I'm just going to pound the ball all day. I mean, we're going to pound that rock 40, 50 times. I'm like, all right, stop us. And I'm going to wear your defense out, and we're just going to gash you all day long. But that's the way I am. I'm not going to be like, oh, I need some of my receivers. They need some stats too. No, I don't care. Like, it's all about a W. I don't care about stats. I don't care about this. It's all about a W, period.
Yep.
In my book. But, you know, I understand you want to be balanced to keep a defense balanced. But even if they got 8 in the box and you're still running on them, who cares? That just sets up for a good little play action. And then, boom, there's your play action. There's your long touchdown. Everybody's happy. But I think honestly today, with that front seven of Iowa State, if we can get into the laps of the linebackers and get push off the ball, I think that we dominate the game.
So Tom Herman actually got a lot of criticism last week because he won the opening coin toss and deferred.
Yeah.
Again. I know you're probably of the mindset of let's take the ball first and go down, run the ball down their throats and score.
Yeah.
But in this game today, you think if he wins the coin toss, he's gonna change his philosophy there? Because it's been a few games lately, I believe in the West Virginia game and Oklahoma State and West Virginia both drove down the field and scored first, as well as Texas Tech the past 3 weeks.
Yeah, see, I don't look at it like that. You know what I mean? I'm the type of guy, like, we're going to defer again. Defense, stop them. I'm that type. You know what I mean? Like, I want the ball to start the second half. And that's how it usually always was. You know, we always are like, we need that ball the second half to start. You know, it's always that security where you get the ball. Okay, we get out the second half. Let's go score touchdowns, get points right away after halftime. So I don't really look at it that, you know, that's looking too deep into it. You deferred in two games and they came down and scored us. We should probably take the ball first. No, you know, it's that really hasn't had nothing. To me, it doesn't have nothing to do with it. Because I don't look at it as statistics. I look at it as a player, like their mentality. Like, you should go out there. If you're If the coach puts you out on the field every time, you should be in your head. You should be like, three and out first series. That should be like your motto all week. Three and out. If we get the ball, if defense out on the field first, three and out, let's go. You know what I mean? That should be some pride stuff. You should be, if I'm on a team with a coach that guys were going to defer, every time defer, as a defensive player in my mind is, hey, we're out first. You know, we're the first ones out today. Let's go set a tone. Set a freaking tone. And that's just the way I approach it, D-balls. But that's just from an athlete, non-coach type approach, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely wanted to hear your perspective. Someone actually texted in, and I assume this is on the offensive line, and it says, limit those damn stupid penalties on both sides of the ball. That kills us and drives, especially in the second half this year.
No, 100%. No, I mean, it's bad, and I've said it from, you know, I don't think Shackford's having a bad year, but I don't know. I just liked Elijah Rodriguez at center. I don't know. It just seemed like a lot more confidence of an offensive line with him at center. But you know, the penalties are bad, and it's always in the offensive line, and it's always on the offensive line. Offsides, man downfield, holding, and it's dumb holding calls. Like you know you're about to hold. Just push the guy. Like push him. Like tug and push. Push pull real quick and you're done. You're not going to get a holding call. Like they should know that, but it's, you know, the mentality of the offensive line should, you know, needs to improve for me. I just want to see a little bit more, you know, down the field nastiness. But I have seen them push the piles a lot lately.
Yes,
and
for sure.
I have seen them do that since the beginning of the season, and that's refreshing as well. I definitely do love that.
Seems like you mentioned it one week on the show, and then for the rest of the season, they've been doing it every game.
I mean, it's just those little things like that are like, they're so big. Yeah, but the stupid penalties, that's really been crushing us. I mean, and the thing that sucks is every time it's a stupid penalty for holding or offsides or legal man downfield or face mask or whatever the hell it is, it's always on like a big-ass play to, you know, Colin Johnson or little Jay Humphries, you know, 60 yards downfield, and it's just, oh, take it back. It's like, oh, my God. Yeah, so the stupid penalties, that's got to stop, because that was one thing that I hated watching Charlie Strong Texas teams, was because it was just sloppy freaking football, and there's no – it was painful to watch. I was like, I can't watch this game because it's just bad football.
Sounds about USF right now.
Yeah. And I think when Coach Herman came in here, he cleaned that up, and he really has. But, I mean, it's clear as day that they're killing themselves on penalties and killing drives. And it's always comes in a crucial point, and you're like, what is going on? But, you know, stuff like that. I think that Oklahoma State-West Virginia game should be a good – I think that'll be a good game today, too. Oklahoma State, they've been playing – they beat us, and they've been in two tight games.
They almost beat Oklahoma last week. If they would have done, it was very similar to the Texas West Virginia game, where they needed a 2-point conversion to win the game. They didn't trust their defense to stop Oklahoma, and rightfully so. But they did not convert the 2-point conversion.
Yep, that's true. But yes, I think Oklahoma State's on the rise. I think that's gonna be a good game today. So we want Oklahoma State to win that one
for sure.
For sure, to beat West Virginia. All right, cool. And, you know, everyone's like 31-28, courtesy of Dicker the kicker. You know,
I knew you were going to see that, and you were going to make a kicker comment.
I can't stand kickers. Because, you know, it goes – dude misses like 9 field goals, and, you know, he misses 2 field goals in the game, then he kicks a game winner, and everybody wants to go jump on his shoulders. I'm like, no, that's not the way it works in my eyes. It's kind of like you make them all. We had to score an extra touchdown because you missed 2 earlier in the game. And then we had to bring it back down to you because, you know, of your missed kicks. You know what I mean? So it just sucks. I just can't stand them. Can't stand kickers, won't ever. I just don't understand it. I don't like them. You know, they're the type that just, man. You throw kickers. Like, they're not football players. They're not. You know, that's why, you know, I agree with Saban when he talks about kickers. Like, they don't get scholarships here. He's a kicker.
Wow.
Yeah, Saban don't give
kickers. Dang, I never heard him say that.
Yeah, he don't give kicker scholarships at Alabama. I think he's done one in his career, whatever that is. One total. I'm not sure. All right. Well, we're going to get back into more Texas football here at 8 o'clock or whatever. But I want to talk about the matchup tonight. I think I want to talk about the top four. So you got Michigan, Notre Dame, Clemson, and Alabama, correct?
Yep.
I think Michigan's a good team, but my whole thing is that Ohio State, when they play Ohio State next week, is that at home or is that in Michigan?
Give me just 1 second. I'll confirm that. That is going to be at Ohio State.
See, I think Ohio State ends up beating Michigan, giving them two losses. That sucks. Well, no, I think Michigan might win one there. But what really does suck, though, is that Michigan might be out if Alabama loses a game. But I don't see Alabama losing a game, period.
No, period.
I just don't. And everyone's like, oh, what about the end of the season or, you know, the conference championship? I'm like, yeah, Alabama's just they're
even kinda, if they lose that game, they're going to make the national championship. Like,
yeah, but I mean, and that's the thing that sucks because they hold the SEC at such a high standard. But not standard, but, you know, just pedestal or whatever. But with the Final Four like that, they need to take college playoffs to six to eight teams.
You think 6 to 8's the way to go?
Yeah, you have to. I mean, it's just because I think all conference champions should be in there. And I just think that conference champions, period, you have to win your conference to get in there. But I understand you go undefeated all year, and you have to beat a team twice, and they beat you, and they're in, you're out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's where I think, like, an Alabama should go back in. Like, if Alabama loses in the SEC championship, I don't think that they should go, but they're going to go. You know what I mean? They deserve to go.
For sure.
They really do. So I can't, you know, I can't hate on that. I don't think Michigan's going to make the playoffs. I just don't see them getting over the Ohio State slump. But, you know, they got over Michigan State this year, so it's kind of one of those things where you're like, well, you know, maybe.
Yeah, they've looked like they're firing on all cylinders, but going into that Ohio State game, you just never know what team is actually going to show up on game day.
Yeah, and it's a rivalry game in Ohio State. You know what team you're going to get. You're going to get that good one.
11 a.m. game as well.
See, that's a trap game for Michigan. 11 a.m. and at the shoe. Can you give us your thoughts or take us through what the players do all day as they prepare for a 7 p.m. game? Do they still stay overnight at a local hotel, et cetera? Hook them. Thanks, Doug. So, you know, what's crazy is Charlie Strong, when they had night games, used to take the whole team over to the bubble, and they would have to go change out and do, like, a stretch and, like, sweat and, like, go over all this film and stuff. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you don't, like, not, like, go over all these, like, walkthroughs and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, dude, that's just – you got guys in, off the bus, they're just tired. Like, the day of a game, it's – you wake up for breakfast. This is how we did it with Coach Brown. This is how Coach Herman does it. Day of a game, you wake up. If it's a night game, you get to sleep in a little bit. You wake up, everybody eats breakfast. Then you'll go to your individual meetings, and then you'll go to a full team meeting. Then you go to individual meetings for a couple minutes, and then you'll meet up as your offense and defense is holes. You'll do a walkthrough. They'll put you back up in the room. You go up there, rest for a few hours, you know, take a nap, watch some TV, watch some other games, do all that, and then you'll eat your pregame meal 4 hours before a game, so it's a 7 o'clock game. You eat at 4, right? No, you eat at 3. Yeah, so you eat at 3 o'clock. So you eat your big breakfast and 3 o'clock pregame meal. You'll eat that, then go back up to your room, grab your stuff, and head to the stadium and start getting ready. But that's really what you do. I mean, we always literally it was team meeting. It was breakfast, team meeting, walkthrough. Hang out in the hotel room, do nothing, get off your feet, lay down, and then it was pregame meal and time to get up there. You know, I liked night games You know, but I prefer, you know, a good 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock game. Those are always the best.
Yeah, I kind of prefer those midday games as well from a watcher's perspective.
Night games atmosphere are so much more fun to play in. Yeah, I mean, it's not Big 12 jealousy of the SEC. I just think
you prefer the conference champions to be in there is what the point you were trying to make.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all that is.
You were saying if Alabama lost, yes, you do think that they deserve to make it to the college football playoff, yeah. But you would rather the national or the SEC champion yeah. make it over Alabama.
Yeah, but it's like one of those things with Clemson. Clemson's undefeated right now, right? Yep. So they're undefeated. If they lose a conference championship to, well, they don't have really anybody that's good.
They would play, God, who would they play?
I don't know. They play somebody. So, you know what I'm saying? So say Clemson loses in the conference championship to like a number 5 or number 7 or 8 team and they don't get in, they deserve to be in too. You know what I mean? I'm not just saying SEC, but yes, the SEC, they do carry y'all to a different standard. Like Kentucky shouldn't be ranked where they're ranked. LSU shouldn't be ranked where they're ranked. I mean, you know, and this year I think 10 through 25 is all kind of a wash. It's not a good football year where you have all your teams like the Texas, you know, the Oklahomas, you don't have all these teams that are consistently good, like your Alabamas, your Auburns, you know, all these main teams that, like, your Ohio State's not as good as they usually are. Michigan State's not as good as they usually are. Penn State, Wisconsin have been good the past few years, but they just fell off this year. You know what I mean? Like, the conferences were real strong the past few years where it was hard to get in that top 25. Now you got all these weird, you know, these weird ass teams in the top 25 that, you know, thinking they're having a good year, but it's really just a down year in college football, to me, in my eyes.
I can agree with that, actually. It feels like there's been a lot of...
As competition in teams, there's a lot... So, it's a down year where the bigger schools are getting upset by some of the littler schools, you know what I mean? So, you know, as a little school football player, you're like, yes, it's a good year for, you know, us, we're a better squad. But really what it is, it's a down year for everybody else. You know what I mean? And that's what I think it is this year in college football. It's just kind of a down year for big-time colleges. I mean, they're good, but they're not dominating. You know what I mean? But, hey, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to come back, keep talking more football. And I did just see the Notre Dame's jerseys looking like the Yankees. I think it's pretty sweet. I think they're pretty dope. I mean, that's just my opinion. But anyways, we'll be right back with more Big Ugly Outdoors brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors.